Okay. Hi, everyone. I have a gift for you. And, yeah, I thought you might say that. I'm not going to tell you what it is until... Should we go put this? Yeah, we'll put it here. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I want you to step out in faith. Someone has to... All you have to do is come and get it. Stand up, walk over here, and I will give you a gift. And it will be good. That's all I'm going to tell you. It's going to be good. Anyone want to risk it? Okay. Of course, that's ready, or risk it. Have a fiver. Okay, that's grace. That's an example of grace, giving something to someone. What Jesus did on the cross for us, his grace is doing that. He gave us something that costed him everything, a little bit more than a fiver. It costed him his entire life. But it costs the person who takes it just to step out in faith and receive it. Now, if you could please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, that would be really good. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you know, one of the hardest things that a Christian has to do is accepting God's grace for them. You know, you look at your life and you think, wow, I've done a lot. You know, Vicky's just shared her life with us. And it's a lot. And every one of us has a story that's great and almost too big. But then you look at it and you think, God's given us so much more. God's love for us has set us free from our past and given us life. But because Ephesians 2, 4 to 5 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. God loves us regardless of where we've been and what we've done. It doesn't matter. Even then, in those difficult times, even when we were struggling with things, he still loved us. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. There have been times in my life where I honestly believed that God couldn't love me, where I honestly believed that I wasn't worthy of his forgiveness, where I looked at my life and I said, how could you love me? I think the majority of Christians have actually probably gone through that, where they just sit there and say, I have done so much. There are so many things that I've done against God in my life. How on earth could he possibly forgive me for them? How could he be gracious? But he does. Then there were also times when I just thought I wasn't enough to be loved by such a perfect father, that I wasn't enough to be forgiven by such a perfect God. But that was me talking. It wasn't God. Just like Vicky said, it's not God who says those things. It's us. It's us, and it's a lie that we have inside of us that says we're not enough. Because we are. God has always loved me, and he always will forgive me. And he loves every one of us. He's willing to forgive anything. His grace is endless towards us. It doesn't matter what we've done, who we've been, we are loved by God. You are forgiven, and his grace is endless. Sometimes it can be hard to accept that grace, especially when you look at your life and you just see one mistake after another, and like you think, well, what's the point? I'm just going to make another mistake tomorrow. But the truth is, those mistakes are what's got you here, and those mistakes are what's going to carry on building you and developing your character in God. And when you see God's grace in your life, you suddenly realize how amazing he is. You know, that he could possibly love you, that he could love me. It's just crazy, but he does it. And when we're feeling unworthy and when we're feeling unlovable and unsavable, it's through that grace that he then works in our lives and shows us who we can be. You know, God is never going to stop loving us. And he's never, it doesn't matter how much we mess up. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, because he promises to love us and forgive us. There's nothing we can do to stop that, because he loved us so much that he would give his own son, Jesus, to die on a cross. You know, he went through all of that pain that was indescribable just for us. And if, you know, that whole idea that if I was the only person on earth, would Jesus die for me? He loved us enough. You know, I gave Pastor Eddie a fiver. It cost me a little bit, but not really very much. But Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross, it's a lot bigger, and it's a lot greater. And it's indescribable in comparison, because it's just completely different. But because we've got this grace that God has given us, it doesn't stop with us. I can't just say, God's forgiven me for my life, and then expect him to just carry on acting like it's just me and him. It's not. There are people out there, and there are people in here, and it's about those people. It's not about me. And each of us is called to reflect God to the world. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16 says, "But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who believe in him and receive eternal life." Ooh. It's through our mistakes and our failures, our weaknesses, that God is glorified. Because if God can work with the worst in us, if he can transform that, if he can change that and make it good and righteous, then what can he do with the worst in someone else? Because it says somewhere in the Bible that God uses our weaknesses for his strength. It's in those things that when we see ourselves being transformed into the likeness of Christ Jesus, transforming from glory to glory, that it shows his character instead of ours. It's not about what I can do, it's about what he can do. It shows just how incredible his love is for us, how great his mercy and grace is, that he could love regardless of sin, regardless of shame, but that love and grace, as I say, can't end with us. I can't hold on to it. I have to give it and show it to the world. We need to give them grace. We need to be compassionate and kind. You know, there are people in this world who are struggling, who are suffering, who have so much going on. And that some of their situations are so incredibly cold and hard that I can't even fathom them. I can't imagine them. I can't put myself in their place and say I can empathize, because I can't. I've not lived it. I can have compassion, but that's as good as I can do, because I do not know their pain. I know my own pain, and I can try and compare it in some way, but the truth is, I can't understand their pain, really, because they have been through so much, and they're continuing to live in it, because that's how great what they're going through is. But God loves them, and so we have to love them. We need to be a church that is not judgmental about where they're at, but loves them regardless of where they're at. You know, we should be like Jesus. For this world to see Jesus, we have to show him. We have to be a church and a generation of Christians, if you want to use that phrase, that aren't scared to show the world how Jesus has changed them. You know, as Vicky stood up here and told us how Jesus had changed her, we have to be ready to do that. Every one of us, wherever it is, whether it's in like work or in school or in whatever environment we're in, we have to be willing to say, Jesus has changed me and this is how he's done it. If we can't do that, there's no point to being a Christian. Like, okay, you could sit in church and just be like, yeah, I love Jesus. But then if it's not doing anything, it's pointless. You might as well just have gone to heaven already. Not saying you should do that. Not suggesting that. Like, yeah, that's funny. It's being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We need to be people who live out what we believe, so that people can see it. We need to be. In fact, I really love the Book of Proverbs. I just think it's full of wise thoughts and beautiful images and stuff. And Proverbs 27, verse 19 says, as waters reflect the face, someone's life reflects their heart. Because we have been transformed by grace, we need to reflect grace into that world. We need to show it them. And like, you know, there's loads of ways we can do it, you know, giving over a fiver. I keep looking at that fiver on the chair thinking, oh no. Could I use that to buy my lunch? Oh wait, I don't need to buy my lunch today, it's all right. But, you know, whatever it is, just a kind little smile or listening to someone as they talk through how where they're feeling and whatever it is, just doing it for them. But then I also got to thinking about how grace isn't, although grace is for them, it's also for everyone in this room. You know, we've got had so much from God, and we need to give it to each other. And like, as well as being gracious to them, we need to be gracious to ourselves and to each other. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. If you can't be loving to your brothers and sisters, how are you going to be loving to them? And I want to love you the way Jesus loves me, and I'd like the same back. And I think everyone in the room would. And it's about being kind to each other, building each other up, encouraging each other to grow in Christ. You know, when you see your brother stumble, then you encourage them. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 14 and 15 say, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and destructive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong with the wrong, but always strive to do what's good for each other and for everyone else. But brothers and sisters, we need to hold hands and support each other, because one thing that I've learned is that in grace builds strength. If we can be gracious with each other, then we will be more gracious with them. Because the more we build each other up and encourage each other to do the right thing, the better we'll become at it. Being gracious and forgiving when we see our brothers and sisters stumble. You know, there are going to be days where I'm going to mess up. And there are going to be days when Eddie here is going to mess up. And, you know, sometimes we might have a bit of an argument about it, but the truth is, if I'm not going to help him when he struggles, then I'm a really rubbish sister. And if he's not going to support me when I stumble and mess up, then our relationship's not going to be that great. And if we can't have a good relationship with brothers and sisters, well, what's the point? So, it's about restoration. We can't restore a broken world if we can't restore a church. And Galatians 6, verse 1 says, brothers and sisters, someone is caught in sin. You who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. It's not about condemnation. It's not about trying to put them right. It's about saying, actually, I want to help you with this. I want to support you. I want to love you. I want to be gracious towards you. There are probably always going to be people who hurt us. Some of them will be out there. Some of them will be in here. But then, when that happens, we just need to be strong and say, actually, I don't have to be damaged by this. I can put it at the cross, and I can heal this relationship. I can restore what's been broken. And finally, the other aspect that we really need to consider about grace is that it's for us as individuals. Each of us have made mistakes. Like I've already said, I've messed up quite a lot. You know, I have had a life that basically says, I've been a Christian forever, but that doesn't always mean I've lived like one. I've been a Christian since I was 4, but when I was 15, I basically said bye to God. Even though I knew he existed, I still chose to walk away. I came back, but that doesn't make it right. I still have to pay for the consequences of that. I still have to live through it every day thinking, oh my goodness, how could I walk away from someone who's so great? How could I walk away from such a gracious God? I've messed up. But I don't have to allow that to cause me to stumble now. I don't have to allow that to be a damage in my heart. I don't have to allow that to be a pain and a burden in my life. I can give it to Jesus. Whatever it is that we've done, we can just hand it over to him and we'll be okay. Because we need to stop holding things against ourselves. Stop putting what's happened before and what's going to happen today and what's going to happen tomorrow as a kind of barrier between us and God, because his grace covers it. We need to be people who put our sins and mistakes at the cross and leave it there, not taking it back and saying, actually, God, I don't think I'll give you this one today. I'll give it you tomorrow, but today I need to just deal with it myself, and eventually I'll come to a point where I can handle it. But really, right now, I just need to feel sorry about it because I feel guilty. Do you know what? Guilt is right, but there's a time when it needs to stop. The only the purpose of guilt is for conviction, and once you're convicted, you turn it away, you say, no more. Once you've been convicted, you put it at the cross and you leave it there. Otherwise, you're just going to carry on stumbling because you'll see this mistake and you'll think, I can't make that mistake. What am I going to do? Oh, and you end up just making another one, which doesn't help. And then you feel even more guilty. So feeling guilty and shameful and embarrassed by our mistakes helps to a point, but it needs to stop. We need to forgive ourselves. Otherwise, they just pile up. And there's no strength in that. There's no grace in that. If I can't be gracious to myself, I can't be gracious to you, and I certainly can't be gracious to them. Because when you can't forgive yourself for something, if you see it in the other person, you're going to hold it against them. You're going to say they aren't... If you can't think yourself worthy of God's love because you have something in your life, when you see it in a brother or sister, or you see it in someone out there, you won't think they are either. And who are we to say that someone's not worthy of God's love? That someone's not worthy of his grace? If Jesus can forgive you, bearing in mind what it took for him to forgive you, that suffering, that pain on that cross, then you can forgive yourself. Because when we forgive ourselves, although it hurts a little bit, the afterwards effect is amazing and so peaceful and tranquil and just great. And also, that cost is nothing in comparison. Nothing. Because when you finally forgive yourself, there is healing and restoration and peace. And when we are people who live in and live out grace, we are people who are living in the fullness of Christ. There's a time and a place for allowing things to touch our hearts and feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit and stuff. There is a time to allow healing to take place. Thank you.